You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as we look back on a brilliant year on the European Tour. We'll feature those players who made a real impact on the season, including the man who finished as Europe's number one.
2017 is going to take some topping, and it's the last shot of the year that decides the Race to Dubai. It's amazing how it comes down that close, and it's been absolute pleasure to try and win a Race to Dubai.
We've an exclusive interview with Tommy Fleetwood, and we'll also hear from the Rookie of the Year, John Rahm, who ended 2017 as Europe's highest ranked player.
You know, to have two European Tour wins, two Rolex Series wins, is just so special. You know, it's the cherry on top of the icing of the cake.
We're also joined by the European Tour's main man, Keith Pelly, as we reflect back on a year that saw the launch of the Rolex Series. So stay with us as we review another incredible year of golf. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is European two-time winner Jamie Spence and Ryder Cup stalwart. Backroom speaking, that is, but yes, you are.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes.
The word stalwart sort of suggests
it's
someone...
It's too dull for you, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah. I know I'm a miserable
It's not
devil,
exciting enough.
No, not quite.
The effervescent Jamie Spence.
That's better.
Yes, ebullient, yes. Christmas, end of the year, time to look back on what's been a really good 2017.
Yeah, it's been a great year. We always say that, I guess. But you look back at Sergio's victory at the Masters. There's plenty of others which we're going to go on to talk about as well. I'm not just going to focus on the bigger events. I think the emergence of Tyrrell Hatton at the end of the season, some great golf he played. To go back-to-back the way he did in two big events in the Dunhill Links and the Tamworth.
Defend, first of all, and then win the
brilliant.
Next week.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And Justin Rose to finish his season the way he's done with three victories in the last 6 weeks or so. Has been incredible. And then, of course, Tommy Fleetwood, last day of that DP World, we weren't sure, were we? Really, it was in Justin's hands, it seemed, going into the back nine.
You can only add the points up when the bell's
correct.
Finished, though,
and
can't you? That's all you can do.
And it was a difficult last nine holes. Yeah. Wind blew, and you just never know in this game. And, delighted for Tommy, but Justin's come out of it, and on he goes again.
Yeah, he's been on fire up until right now, actually, just the week before Christmas. Incredible. Just to remind you that next week's show will be our majors review, when we will look back at four wonderful events in depth. But today we'll look back on the European Tour year as a whole.
Now, Robert Lee, what about your memories? You asked me mine, but about you? What sticks in your mind?
Yeah, I love the fact that Tommy Fleetwood won the Race to Dubai, no doubt about that. I think the four majors were spectacular, but the moment for me... I can talk about the five that Jordan made in the 13th at the Open Championship, and the way he turned his game around on a sixpence and went on to win in incredible style was fantastic. But for me, the duel between Justin Rose and Sergio coming down the stretch at the Masters, and the joy that I saw, because you don't see it in his face an awful lot, the joy that I saw in Sergio's face when he held that putt and he knew he'd won the green jacket at Augusta was just incredible. And his girlfriend at the time, his partner, she stayed off the green. And Sergio had that wonderful, I don't know how long it was, to me it felt like forever. Maybe he had a minute or two, seemingly on his own, the camera just focused on him. No one else was in the shot apart from the crowds around that green. And you saw all the years of disappointment and all the near misses come out in that one special period of time. It was incredible for me.
Yeah, we sort of all been on that journey with him, really, haven't we?
Yes,
Sergio?
We have.
So we were all waiting for that moment. It was a strange situation because Justin as well, you're sort of cheering for both of them. You didn't want either of them to lose, really, but it was Sergio's moment and we all lived it with him. It was great. I think he'd go on to win another one.
Sergio's second shot to the 15th, hits the flag, bounces back to 15th and he knocks it in last drip into the front of the hole for an eagle was incredible.
And that 18th hole is... It's difficult now.
Oh, it's
a tough one. Push the tee back there. That bunker's in play. It's a hard, hard hole.
Yeah, I could talk about it all day long, but I haven't got all day. A lot of maiden winners. Some big interviews to come later in the show, but let's start by considering the 15 players who began the 2017 season without a European Tour victory to their name, only to claim their maiden Race to Dubai title. So we'll go through this quickly. Harold Varner III at the Australian PGA Championship. Sam Brazel in Hong Kong. Dean Burmester at the Shawnee Open. Matt Wallace won the Open de Portugal, the fifth major. Renato Paratori at the Nordea Masters. Dylan Fratelli at the Lyonnais Open came out on top there. John Rahm won the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open in spectacular style. Justin Thomas won the US PGA Championship. Adrian Otegi won the Paul Laurie match play, Jason Norris, the Fiji international, Julian Siri, the maiden Denmark, Roman Vettel, the KLM Masters, or the KLM Open, rather, Lucas Bjerregaard, the Portugal Masters, Paul Dunne, the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports, Jordan Smith, the Porsche European Open. John Rahm won twice, more on him in a minute. Dylan Fratelli won again this season at the Fraser Bank Mauritius Open, and Justin Thomas, the debut European Tour win, was a major championship. Pick the bones out of that, Jamie.
I certainly can, Rob. Julian Suri and Dylan Fratelli, very similar players. They're going to be around for a long time. Got very similar games as well. Keep your eyes on those two. Matt Wallace, that's a co-sanction with the Challenge Tour, Matt. But really, that's just an example in European Tour. You can come from nowhere, get a card and build a career. And he's done exactly that.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, there's opportunity.
And Renato Paratore, the quickest player in the world in professional golf. The cameras can't get him quick enough because he hits it before the other ball's stopped. He's a breath of fresh air.
The shot clock masters should actually...
he should get rewarded.
They should time Renato and say, right, that's the time the rest of you have got.
Yeah, exactly.
No one could do it.
No one could play.
No one could
like
do
that.
It.
And obviously, you talked about John Rahm. Roman Wattel, been waiting for it. We've been talking about Roman Wattel.
A long time.
Well overdue for the talented Frenchman to win the KLM Open. Lucas Bjerregaard looked a world-class player when he won in Portugal. As all these guys do, when they're on their games, they look pretty special. But Bjerregaard hits the ball long. He just had that confidence about him. And then Paul Dunne burst on the scene, British Masters, chipping at the last, holding off Rory McIlroy's charge on the last day. Brilliant performance from Paul. And Jordan Smith won that Porsche. He's going to be around a long time. Chance to get in the Ryder Cup team.
There's
Jordan
a lot
Smith.
To look forward to with the young players that have just broken through.
Yeah, yeah. They're all good players, and they've all provided their own excitement and entertainment.
Yeah, let's hear now from the Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year, Spain's John Rahm. He burst onto the scene in 2017 with Race to Dubai wins at the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open and the curtain closer, the DP World Tour Championship.
You know, it's still hard to believe. I think probably a couple of weeks till I realise what I've done this year. But, you know, it feels great. Right now, if I complain about anything, you'll be becoming the brattiest person alive, to be honest. It's been a dream come true. It wasn't on my mind, it wasn't a goal of mine to be standing here at the beginning of the year. You know, it all came true after Tour of Pines, and, you know, to have two European Tour wins, two Rolex Series wins as a Rolex ambassador, to win the DP World Tour Championship is just so special. You know, it's the cherry on top of the icing of the cake.
I never had the cherry on top of the icing of the cake, but that's where John Rahm is.
Yeah, well, I don't like cherries, actually, so I would never eat the cherry.
You just have the icing? What about the marzipan?
Not so keen on the marzipan.
I love the marzipan. I could peel off the icing and just have the marzipan.
John Rahm's a big fella. Strong,
big
physical
guy.
Human being, power, but touch. He's got that Spanish swagger about him.
But he's got
him.
The X factor.
He's got the X factor.
He has.
He's got everything, and pleased he's European.
Looking forward to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, we are. Looks a tough match player. He's got everything, hasn't he?
John Rahm and Sergio.
Yeah. I think you're going to put them two together.
Even they? Thomas couldn't mess that up.
No, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Now, also amongst the maiden wins, you've got to look at other wins came from players that have been a long time out of the winning circle. Some incredible stories. Andres Romero, 9 years and 332 days. That's almost 10 years between the wins in the Deutsche Bank in 2007 and then his win this year at the BMW International Open. That was an amazing win.
Yeah, I was on course that week. Sergio should have won that. He had it in the palm of his hand, but he had a very poor putt on 16. But Romero came through, birdied a few at the end there, and he's a good player, Andres Romero. Tried his luck in America, went okay for him out there, but he's back now. Terrific win from him. He's a quality player. He nearly won the Open as well, didn't he, 1 year?
Carnoustie.
Yeah, Carnoustie is right up there, so he's a good player.
But the amazing thing is about him that he's able to... Some players are just able to win when they get a sniff because he's not had form coming into that week.
No. Yeah, but anybody gets in the field these days, they're good players. An experienced player as well. And once they get the juices flowing, they get a sniff, those memories come flooding back to him. So, and there was not much expected of him either. He was out of the limelight. Sergio was taking all the limelight and he came through and won.
Graham Storm, 9 years, 198 days since the French Open win in 2007. And this year he won the BMW South Africa Open, where he had to beat Rory McIlroy.
That was a story for me, one of the stories of the year for Stormy. Nearly missed his card the previous.
And Jordan Smith was the third man involved
there. Yeah, he was. Jordan Smith lost by a shot. It was Rory and Graham in the playoff. Mm. But to miss your card, then he got a reprieve and got it back. And to come out and win a big tournament like the South African Open up against Rory McIlroy, Graham Storm, he just totally rejuvenated his career. Great stuff.
Yeah, and he was saying how complimentary Rory was towards him, and all good stuff. It really was. Eduardo Molinari, 6 years, 232 days from the Johnny Walker Championship at Glen Eagles. Remember, he birdied the last three holes to get himself in the Ryder Cup side, and then had
force
to wait.
He forced his way into that team.
Bullied his way into the team.
He kept Paul Casey and Justin Rose out of that Ryder Cup team. One of them, anyway.
How could you deny him with his finish?
No, you couldn't.
Impossible. And this year, he won the trophy. Yeah,
and again,
Morocco.
I was lucky enough to be out there as well. I won a playoff against.
Jeez, you just
want
to be where you are.
Well, I don't know, but I was there on that. And again, I'd written that down. One of the highlights of the year, Molinari to win that. He's not done much since, to be fair to Eduardo, but he's worked so hard on his game to see someone, a quality player like that, come back and win. He knocks it on the last there in two, by the way. Yeah. We know that's a long hole.
Yeah, it is.
So great win for Eduardo.
And the enigma that is Alvaro Quiroz, who won in Dubai in 2011. That's the last win before he won the Rocco Forte Open this year.
Guess what? I was on course with him as well.
There you go, you see? Isn't that unbelievable?
But he tried to throw it away. I tell you what, he just clung in there.
But he hit
an
unbelievable shot at the end.
He did, yeah.
Off some tight pan, and it was...
I interviewed him afterwards, and he wasn't that emotional. I thought he'd be in bits, actually, but he wasn't. He was still out there on the golf course and quite calm and collected, but again, he's been away for too long.
I mean, Alvaro's a potential Ryder Cupper.
Yeah, he's got very fast hands, hits the ball along. I think everyone, when he first came out, he was hitting the ball so much further than everybody else. I think they caught him up a bit, but great to see him win.
Yeah, a really, really fun player to watch. Like all the Spaniards are, actually. They really are. Plenty of great stories this year, including the success of a certain Tommy Fleetwood. Let's confirm the top 10 on the Race to Dubai for 2017.
Well, in 10th place, Brandon Grace. Great win at the Nedbank for Brandon. Francesco Molinari, ever steady. He's at 9. Alex Noren at 8. Cabrera Bayo at 7. Ross Fisher at 6th. Tyrrell Hatton, 5th. Sergio, the Masters champion, at 4. John Rahm at 3. Justin Rose at 2, Tommy Fleetwood our number 1.
Wasn't it incredible that for so long and so long into the season, Tommy had a sort of million point advantage? It looked like he had it wrapped up. And then along came Justin Rose with the HSBC win, the win in Turkey, and all of a sudden it was game on.
Well, I think when Justin won the HSBC, I think he realised he had a chance because he was fresh, whereas Tommy was playing a lot of golf and hard to produce a quality performance week in, week out. So Justin really put the squeeze on Tommy Fleetwood and nearly got over the line, didn't he? To win three events in a row for Justin would have been incredible. It's very rarely done, especially in big events.
Oh, yes. It's so hard to do.
It's so hard to do. So, yeah, you've got to commend both players. But
And even Sergio, if he'd have eagled the last.
Yeah, right.
Sergio could have won the Race to the Bay.
That's right. Yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it?
Incredible finish.
Who he could have gone to.
It was Tommy in the end. If it was Sergio, if it was Justin, it would have still been a fantastic year. But congratulations to Tommy Fleetwood as the European number one. Really incredible. Players getting into the top 10, you know, you sort of start the top 10 and you work your way because we're all waiting for that number one guy. But in essence, if you finish in the top 10, you've had a very good season.
Oh, yeah. You just look at the names that are outside of the top 10. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson. There's three to be getting on with. So breaking into that top 10 is never an easy task.
Yeah, there's only one winner though, and I am delighted to say that we can speak to the Race to Dubai champion now. He was good enough to phone into the show the day after he won the title, and Tommy Fleetwood has done it again. Tommy, congratulations on everything this year, and especially on getting married in the Bahamas.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a pretty cool couple of months, I'd say. It is nice to be home. I still can't wake up, but it's been brilliant. Yeah, nice to be having a little bit of rest and sort of reflecting on everything that's happened and just enjoying time off, really, enjoying not having to do anything. It was a long stretch towards the end of that year.
If you look on social media at sporting superstars that get married, there's always something that's over the top to do with their wedding, whether it's the person they've booked to do the singing or whatever. What did you do that was extravagant?
It was in the Bahamas.
That's pretty extravagant.
Yeah, I mean, it all worked out because I got into Tiger's event and I remember we were playing when I was in the Irish Open. I was walking down the fairway with Justin Rose, first or second day. And at the time, my world ranking was as high as it has ever been. And he was like, what's your world ranking now? And I said, 14, I think it was. So he said, would you play Tiger's event? And obviously never, ever crossed my mind. Never been close to anything like that. So I've gone, well, probably. And then we just decided if I got in it, then we'd get married over there because it'd be perfect timing. Year would be over. And we ended up doing it. We had like, I think we had about 28 people there. So it was, you know, perfect amount. And yeah, it was brilliant.
Was it barefoot on the beach with a hippie vicar?
No, I got me suit made in Hong Kong the week before. And then... and bought a pair of shoes at Heathrow Airport on the way.
quality.
It was brilliant. I mean, I had zero to do with organisation.
That's a good job.
But yeah, I mean, you don't even want to put yourself in that position, do you?
No, you do not.
No.
So I just let it happen, but she did a great job. Everybody loved it.
What's it like being a dad? No sleep and all that? How are you getting on?
Quality. I mean, I don't hear him wake up in the night very often, so Claire's got that covered.
You've got to join in, Tom. You've got to do...
He's a proper northern man.
I had him on my own for the first time the other day because Claire went out with a mate for a meal and that, so it was just me, Frankie, and the dog. And he was, you know, I was fast asleep. She went out at one and he was fast asleep for about an hour. And I thought, well, this is easy. And then he woke up and he didn't shut his eyes again. So she got back. So that was a bit tricky. And then I took overnight shift as well. So that was like a long day. But he's amazing. He's cool. He's so in the room whenever he's awake and that. Isn't it? It's just amazing being a dad.
Yeah, that's nice, Tom. Puts things into perspective. Let's take you back to the Bahamas. Let's take you back to the Bahamas. One of your golfing heroes. What did you make a tiger?
You're taking me back.
Yeah, I'm not literally taking you back, but what did you make a tiger out there? You must have got quite close up to him.
I'd seen him at tournaments and I'd said hello in passing like you do, but never had a full conversation with him. And so I flew home from Hong Kong for sort of half a day and then arrived in Bahamas on Tuesday, and Justin has a thing at his house on the Tuesday night where everybody kind of goes. So I stood, you know, get in. First person that walks in the door after me, Tiger Woods. And Claire's oldest, Oscar, is 11. He's gone, "Oh, look, but Tiger Woods has just walked in the room." So I've gone, "Yeah, I've noticed, Oscar." And he literally walked straight up to me and congratulated me and said how well I played this year.
Did you faint at that point?
I just went, "Oh, thank you very much, Tiger. It's nice to see you."
How's things with you, Tiger?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, Tommy, hey, you've been awesome this year, man. Great to watch. So, and then he started talking about his fishing and stuff. So I had like a 15-minute conversation with Tiger Woods first. Like, I've been in Bahamas for about 3 hours.
So straight into the deep end?
Oh, straight in, yeah.
Yeah, that's great stuff. That's what you want.
Well, yeah, it was brilliant. And then I saw him a few times throughout the week. And he came up to me on the last day and thanked me for playing in his tournament. So, you know, you're welcome, Tiger.
So you're regular buddies now. You and Tiger are regular buddies.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, big time, yeah.
Two T's, Tiger and Tommy.
Yeah, goes well.
Yeah.
I mean, the event itself was unbelievable. There was 18 lads playing. It was like the greatest golf society of all time. Just 18 lads that turned up for breakfast in the morning, chatting away, and Tiger Woods had been back for... He hadn't played for a year, and there was 100 people watching, so for the people there to get that close was amazing. You're not going to get any better than that. But it was brilliant. It was brilliant to see him back, wasn't it? How well did he play too?
Yeah, he did amazingly well. I mean, the great thing for him is physically he held out for 4 days, and it looks good for at least he's got the platform to have a go next year. Yeah. It's going to be a fantastic watch to see what Tiger does, because young guys like you would love him to come back and experience what that's like to be among him and all that goes
with
it.
Yeah, he looks like he's moving great. His swing was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. Everything was good. I thought he was, and Jamie, same thing, thought he was phenomenal. So, are you now used to being the number one player in Europe?
No, not really. It was weird because we didn't have time to let it sort of sink in. I mean, going back to it, I was poor on that Sunday. I just didn't play how I wanted to play, so I was disappointed. And then my first instinct was I kind of felt bad for Justin I felt bad for myself at first. Then I felt bad for him because it showed how cruel golf was and it was kind of in his hands with no one else to play. And then I'd won it the race to Dubai and we were flying at 3 o'clock the next morning, so we didn't have massive time to really talk about it or celebrate it or think about it that much. And then I had a spell where every sort of 5-10 minutes I got to sit down, like, you realise, I mean, for starters, it's there forever, that. It is such a massive achievement. All you have to do is look at the guys that have done it before me. And no, not really used to it at all. I mean, the best thing about it was I was really excited about being announced as Race to Dubai champion, and then I played Hong Kong the next week and he didn't say it once.
After day one, you should have had a word.
So I was gutted. I'll have a word with whoever's starting throughout the year. Just make sure they get it in.
Now, Tommy, European number one, I know what you're like. You want to push yourself. You're laying there on the couch. You've got Frankie in one hand, the dog laying next to you. You're watching Everton getting stuffed by Arsenal. But I know your thoughts will be on your game. What needs to improve in your game, if anything?
Sort of started talking about it now with everyone that I work with, and it's really important to keep making sure you do what has made you so good in the first place. Like, just because the year's over and you want to improve as much as you can, it doesn't mean you're going to rebuild everything. And people are so quick to, once one year's finished and they've got a new year, they think it's an opportunity to do every, you know, all these kind of great ideas that's in their head. But for us, I have to be sharper with my scoring, you know, when it comes to me not being quite on it. You know, from 100 yards in, all your scoring clubs, I just need to just keep improving them bit by bit. I mean, putting stats are never going to look amazing because I hit so many fairways and greens. My putting stats are never going to look amazing. But if I keep just gradually improving that, I think reading the greens, I would like to improve at, and generally around the greens, just be sharper and a bit more clinical, really, is a word that I like. But in general, just keep doing the same things and making them small improvements. Time management will be important next year. I've obviously got new commitments. I'm going to be in America a little bit more and Europe, but as European number one, I guess my time will be a little bit more precious, which I never had to deal with before, really. I was nowhere in the game a year and a half ago, so it's been easy up to now. You just go about your business and keep improving. But just, there's things to look forward to, and I think it's so easy to have your expectations so high after such a great year, and your acceptance has almost got to be higher, you know, new territory, really.
I like what you said there, because sometimes the brave thing to do is not to change anything. It is not to look for a route that you think is going to lead somewhere else. It's just to keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes that is the brave thing to do.
Yeah, well, I've been on a steady upward climb for a year and a half. There's no point massively changing stuff. It would be kind of silly, but hopefully I've got the right people around me that would, if I wanted to, they'd tell me not to, sort of thing. I trust in the people that are there to help me improve, to make sure that we don't go down the... Like, I know what it's like to go down the wrong path by trying to do too much. So I do have that kind of experience behind me. So I kind of know what not to fall into, or I'd know when I was falling into that trap. But I mean, my long game this year, I'm not going to brag, but it's been good. That is basically where my game is based. I would never try and change that. I say my short game and my putting needs to improve, but I'm never going to go, oh, that needs to improve. So, do you know what? I won't work on the stuff I'm good at, and I'll try and get better at that, because you can't lose. Everybody's good at something. Everybody has a kind of super strength or something that their game revolves around. And for me, it's always been, you know, I've been a good driver with the ball, decent distance in it, a lot of fairways, and then I hit a lot of greens. I don't attack that much when I don't need to, and that's why I end up hitting a load of greens, and then maybe I try and pick courses off that way. So I'm not going to change that way of playing. I just need to improve gradually in tiny, tiny bits.
Bob Torrence used to have a saying, never weaken the strong to strengthen the weak. And you just expressed that, so well done.
Oh, thank you. All right, Bob.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he? He was a legend, Bob.
Yeah, he was
a total legend in the game, sorely missed. Tommy, all the golf you've played the last year or so, is there somebody you've played with and he's really impressed you? For whatever reason, it might be a short game, long game. Who would you pick out of all the great players you've played with?
Good question.
Well, I want a good answer. One player, you can't have two or three.
You want one player?
Come on, who you must have played with somebody over the last year or so and thought, he's good.
I genuinely believe that everybody's on the game, the best player in the world is Rory at the moment. But if you're asking me, like, somebody that I've played with that's impressed me that maybe is on his way up, I would say, I think Jordan Smith has a lot about him. I think he's brilliant.
Good answer, yeah.
Did you play with John Rahm this year?
Yes.
And?
Yeah, he's very good. He finished third in the race to Dubai, didn't he?
He finished some way behind you, and he's top five in the world, Tommy.
Yeah, he is. No, he is. I mean, he is impressive, and he's one of them that just does it about him. When he has that bit between his teeth, he's going to win tournaments. Like, that is, you come across people like that. You know, everybody can play well on the day. He is exceptionally good. I mean, I would enjoy going down the stretch with him, because I know he has that something extra that certain amount of the players have, that when they're on it, they win tournaments. And I mean, he's so young. You don't realise he's so young because he's massive. Like, you know, he's 6 foot odd and he's, you know, a big lad and he's quite physically dominating. But he is still very young. But he has got that special something about him that the best players in the world have.
Yeah, he sure has. Now, we're going to be talking to Keith Pelly later on in the show. We want you to relive the moment at the trophy presentation in Dubai when you turned to him and said, regarding the bonus pool.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't actually remember the words that he said, but I didn't know what it was. I knew there was a bonus pool, but I didn't know how much it was or anything. So he might have asked me what I was going to do with it. And I said, I don't know. I don't know how much it is. Or and he's gone, are you serious? And I went, I haven't looked, Keith. Like, I don't know. He's gone, you're kidding me.
But you do know now.
I knew now, because he pulled a little booklet out of his pocket and showed me. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's handy.
Not bad. Was it seven figures?
Yeah.
So what do you buy the man with everything for Christmas? Is it a Wayne Rooney shirt? What is it? What do you want for Christmas, Tom?
Wayne Rooney signed me a shirt, so congratulations.
Did he really?
Yeah, so I've got that in the house now.
So you got nothing for Christmas then? What do you want for Christmas then?
I've always wanted, I should probably buy them me themselves, but I haven't. So Claire's getting me a set of hickory golf clubs.
That's interesting.
You have to slow your swing down to hit those, mate, let me tell you.
I mean, what are they actually? I've never hit one.
You have to slow it right down.
You have to wait and wait and wait and wait.
You can't swing it slowly enough. Brilliant for your timing, but not easy to use. You'll enjoy that.
I'll look forward to them, yeah. I mean, Nike irons aren't far off hickories, are they, these days?
I mean, if you've won the Race to Dubai this year, but if you win the Race to Dubai next year with a set of hickories, you will set the world on fire. I'm not saying you're confident, Tommy, but that's ridiculous.
You never know.
You'll have to get a couple of gutta percha golf balls as well to go with them.
I know, I feel like that course isn't set up for hickories.
Well, is it? Only if you make the par 90.
let's look ahead, Tommy, to maybe inclusion for you in the Ryder Cup. It'll be on the golf course that you had a great time on in 2017.
Yeah, I know. It's clearly, whenever it comes around, it's every player's massive goal, whether you're sort of expected to get in the team, whether you'd love to have an outside run and just get in. And yeah, I mean, I did well on the... I hadn't made a cut around there until this year, so it came as a bit of a surprise. But it was funny, like, when I played it, I felt so confident on it when I was playing well, but I've always struggled around that golf course, so things should be different now.
It's a course that you can't go there with half a game, that's the thing. That's why if you're sort of not on your game, you're going to get caught out. And if you're on it, you can score on it.
Yeah, and I mean, them last few holes, if you're around the cut mark, it's horrendous. It's the toughest finish. Even, I think this year, I think I walked off the 14th green with a four-shot lead at the time. I know, like, Pete was behind me and he was catching up, but I had a four-shot lead. Standing on that 15th tee, you think, this is the worst course in the world to have a four-shot lead on.
Well, you can't see yourself getting on the fairway there, can you?
Can't win from there.
Yeah.
Better make sure you win 5 and 4 then.
But it was almost worked in the opposite way, because you can't bail out. There's nowhere to just duff a shot.
No, it's only a good shot. It's a good shot or nothing, isn't it?
It's a good shot or nothing.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Like 15, water on the right, you can't just snap hook it off the tee and then hit one in. You're in the rough and you're hacking out. So it makes you hit the golf shots at least. So like this year, coming down the stretch, at least it made you hit it. There was no chance of putting a bad swing on it and getting away with it.
You can't fudge it, can you? No.
No, so you had to play. But I think that finish, then last falls for the Ryder Cup, it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Tommy, before we let you go, who would you like to partner in the Ryder Cup, in foursomes and in fourball? Who would you like to partner?
I've already said I would absolutely play with anyone. Hopefully there's somebody in that team, if I'm there, would like to play with me. There's not going to be like everybody's going to put a list down and go, I don't want to play with Tommy Fleetwood, and then I'll be dropped because I would play with anyone. But I just, you know, I would love it. Hopefully, as this year goes on, I'll keep improving and progressing. And when I get to the Ryder Cup, you know, people would sort of feel like my game would contribute to theirs and they'd like to play with me. But just standing on that first tee and having that playing for Europe, it's the biggest sporting occasion in the world every time it comes around. So being there, and at the end of the day, we spend week in, week out with all the guys. So it'll be great to just be doing that and have that experience. Hopefully, I'm there.
And I know you're having a few days off now over the Christmas period, but how soon do you think into the new year you're going to get the itch, get the clubs out, get going again?
It's half coming. I do get a little bit stir crazy, and there's only so much tidying rooms you can do. Just keep leaving like a T-shirt somewhere, so that's my job for the day. Just take that off the chair, Tom, would you? Yeah, all right, that'll do.
Yeah. Empty the dishwasher, will you?
I don't mind emptying the dishwasher. It's filling it that I don't even want to test.
Oh, you like it all clean and sparkly?
Well, I just know it'll be wrong. I just know I'll got it wrong if I fill it. So there's no point.
You are learning, Tommy.
You know, all you got to do is wash a couple of jumpers and shrink them down to the size of a key fob. That's all you got to do. That'll get you off that detail as well. Just ask Jamie. The Spence Handbook.
I'll let you know all the secrets, Tom, next time I see you.
Please do, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Christmas present. No, I've got... Sort of coming up over Christmas, you have a few games of golf that you play with the lads and that you don't see very often. But actually, full on, I enjoy playing golf like that, because we don't play very often, where it doesn't matter if you're a shocker. It's nice to play, just having a nice time and not worrying about what you're doing all the time. But I think when I start practicing, I'll hopefully start... I'm going to Dubai early before the Eurasia Cup, and hopefully sort of between Christmas and New Year I'll put 2 or 3 practice sessions in, so I'm kind of half ready when I go to Dubai for practicing and getting the most out of that, and then start playing again. But yeah, that's how it'll work. I'm not that I'm not that fussed at the moment. It's been so nice to have time off and not worry about much.
Tommy, it's been great to talk to you again. Many congratulations on your golfing you accomplishments this year. And on a personal level, getting married to Claire and your little one, Frankie. Life is very good for Tommy Fleetwood, and we're really looking forward to seeing what you produce in 2018.
Thank you, boys. Thank you very much.
Oh, great to hear from Tommy. He's in great form, and obviously, after a little rest, he'll be itching to get back at it, Jamie.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's difficult to keep your clubs in the closet for
when
too long
when you play like that. Yeah. And you gave him some great home advice, you know, with the washing and, you know, the dishwasher and the clay. You gave him some great advice there.
I think the appearance at Paris National in September will be burning
that'll
deep
focus
inside.
The mind, won't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, for a player that's had his season, to make that Ryder Cup side is absolutely essential for Tommy Fleetwood. So we'll watch his journey as when it starts again in, well, it feels like days before we get to the turn of 2018. Multiple Race to Dubai winners in 2017 include, of course, Sergio Garcia, who won three times the Masters, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, and he won another Masters, the Andalucía Valderrama Masters. Brilliant year for Sergio.
Yeah, well, the winner of the Dubai is always worth noting that time of year. Players that play well in that part of the year tend to keep playing well throughout the year. And so that's always it's a good sign. And obviously the Masters win, we've talked about that. Brilliant for him to finally win his major. And then to come back home and win that Andalusia Valderrama Masters when it was his tournament.
And he's got to do extra stuff.
He's got to do all the stuff.
His foundation.
And he still won it from Joost Luiten.
There was on a difficult course, Valderrama.
One of the toughest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sergio will be sitting down drinking his mulled wine with a big smile on his face.
I wonder if it'd be Rioja. Perhaps.
Could be. Warm Rioja. Be very nice.
No one's ruined a glass of Rioja making it warm, I think. No, surely not. Other multiple winners, Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Tyrrell Hatton and Justin Rose. I actually enjoyed watching every single one of those.
Yeah, of course. But they're all exciting players. Mm. That whole list of players. Tyrrell Hatton, I was with him on course when he won the Dunhill Links. And
I was just going to say, I'm not sure anybody's ever hit two better shots than his drive at 17,
17 yeah.
and that's the
exactly
second shot at 17.
Hit 6-iron, 191 it was.
Yeah.
I called it a 5-iron, obviously. Got it totally wrong.
Old school.
Trying to run it in. I was thinking, he's just going to run this one in, nothing.
Just pitch it over the top of the flag.
Carried the bunker, stuck it on the back of the green. Great. I mean, that was the sign of a champion there, that shot.
Do you know
first player I see do that. Greg Norman.
He waited 15, 20 minutes on that 17th tee, and if ever there's a hole, you don't want to wait, it's there.
But the second shot, we talked about it. Sometimes you see a shot and you think, that's above
different.
The norm.
That's different. Yeah.
Especially at that stage. It could have been so easy just to trundle one up the front, but no, none of it.
Have we got another player on tour that kind of just thinks about the win and nothing else as much as Tyrrell Hatton?
Well, I think all these top players, they seem to be earning bundles of cash.
I don't think it's a cash thing. I think, you know, that sort of...
It's difficult to put...
I'm not really thinking about... I'm not really going to nudge one down here and finish second. I'll take second. I won't... He'll go all out for the win.
I think you've got to play like that. You've got to be prepared to lose, which not many are.
Yeah.
But the top players have that in them.
And the 8 Rolex Series events were won by Alex Noren, Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm, of course, won twice with his win at the end of the year, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, Brandon Grace. And the thing to note there, Jamie, is the quality of the winners in those Rolex Series events.
Yeah, brilliant players. Noren just seems to be winning plenty of events. We could keep talking Ryder Cup. That's got to be his next aim, Alex. Can he continue that form? Probably he can. Cabrera-Bello should win more.
He's got to close out more times than he does. But, you know, he is a cash machine, but I think he'll be aware of that.
Yeah. I mean, Callum Shinquin let him in on that Scottish Open on the last
hole. Callum Shinquin will be... I don't care whatever he does in the rest of his career, he'll still kick himself for that.
Maybe, but still a vastly improved performance from Callum.
He's a very good player.
Nuts he
does flush it.
But all those names there, Brandon Grace to win on his home soil in the African major, they call it, the Nedbank, was a brilliant performance.
And a word for Brandon, 62 at the Open.
Yeah.
Breaking... you know, Royal Birkdale, he broke the 63 that had been...
Brilliant score.
So many players were on that 63
mark. It was a nice, calm day, but I don't care.
Can't see 62 around Birkdale, can you really?
Not really, no. Well, of course, it's great, but not when they're sticking the pins away. No, I can't.
No, so he's in terms of lowest score, not score to par, lowest score, Brandon Grace is in a class of one, which is exactly where you want to be in this game of golf. Jamie, please give us the top 10, end of year top 10 in the world rankings.
Can I give you the top 11? Because I think...
You may.
I think...
Have we got a European there?
We do. Sergio Garcia, the Masters champion, is 11th in the world ranking. And Rory McIlroy is 10th. Who would have thought that at the start of the year? Rory being 10th on the world ranking.
Well, let's give them 12 months and see what they do.
Yeah, it would be interesting. And another European at 9 in Henrik Stenson. A US Open champ at 8, Brooks Koepka. Ricky Fowler, surely a major around the corner for him at 7. Justin stayed at 6 despite those 3 wins. Don't understand that. Hideki Matsuyama at 5. Rahm, the impressive Rahm, at 4. And the top 3 is pretty impressive. Justin Thomas at 3. Spieth at 2. Dustin Johnson, our number 1.
We talked about Justin Rose's recent run, top 10s and the 3 wins. Well, one of his wins just happened a day ago. On Sunday, he had to play 30 holes in a weather-interrupted Indonesian Masters. Started the week with a 62, Jamie, and ended the week with a 62, 29 under par.
Very impressive. He's obviously the star man going into the week, but going over there and performing as well, it's blisteringly hot there. But he just, I didn't watch all of it, but watched quite a bit of it. Just played some terrific golf and just cantered to victory.
Going back to my point.
He's on top of his game, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going back to my point. Even though those top players, you never know when you're going to be absolutely right on your game, and he is right now.
Well, he is.
A sustained run as well.
I would imagine he'd want Augusta next week, if he could.
Oh, absolutely.
If he could just bring forward a few tournaments. But
absolutely,
he's going to have to try and simmer and just try and... I don't know how you do that, but just got to keep putting the quality performances and...
More of the same.
I also think for Justin, he's had some injuries, which he's got over. So I think that's a big plus for him to be playing better.
And good, you know, we always associate ball striking with Justin Rose. Tee to green, normally very, very reliable. Whatever lets him down, it seems to be the putter. He had a great putting week. He's had a great putting run, actually.
You don't shoot 262s with that. I'll tell you what, with Justin, he hits the ball a lot further than you'd think.
He's long. Perhaps sneaky long's not even
he's
right.
Not
he's just,
sneaky
he
long.
Just hits it a long
he's
way.
He's long.
Yeah, he hits it a long way. He's got everything, Justin Rose. Mm. Absolutely everything. And I'm sure he's going to feature in all the big events coming up in 2018. What about Rory McIlroy, starting 2018 at number 10 in the world?
Can't wait to watch him play again.
I just wish him a good run health-wise.
We'll presume that's going to be the case.
We'll give him that.
We'll give him that,
right.
He's going to be fit. And
right, what are we going to see?
I've got to hope we'll see the real Rory again because of... For me, he's probably the most exciting player to watch. We're looking forward to watching Tiger.
The needle mover.
He is the needle mover. He's the one you want to watch. And he's just got that natural way of playing golf. And
You've only got to see what he did when he went down to South Africa and played at the South African Open, which Graham Stormont. The crowds that turned up. It looked like a major.
Got the Masters, you know, to get his career Grand Slam. So that's probably the one that's really on his mind.
You see some people with, you see charity bands on people's wrists. But there's one that some people have, and it's got WWJD on it, and it stands for What Would Jesus Do? So you try and live your life when you get to a crossroads and make the right decision.
Okay.
I think Rory should have one of those, but for him, it should be What Would Jack Do?
Oh, I like that, Rob.
When he gets to the Masters, what would Jack do? Jack's won 6 Masters because a lot of the time he makes the right decision.
Now, you'll be able to help me with this. Has he appointed a new caddy yet, Rory?
I heard he had. I haven't heard it publicly. I heard.
That's a big decision.
I heard he'd picked a bit of a diamond, as in Harry, his friend.
He's stuck with Harry.
I don't know. I heard Harry was going to caddy for him. I don't know if that's true or not. Rory's always been his own man. I'm not sure he takes counsel too much.
Well, him and JP did a fantastic job together. No doubt about that. But I can think of a few caddies you'd put on Rory's bag. I think just might help him, providing he wants to listen. But I think a good caddy would maybe make a slight difference. JP was a good caddy. They worked brilliantly together, had a great time together. But he needs another good caddy.
Yeah, he does. I want Rory to win the Masters so I can sort of go, oh, thank goodness that's done.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it.
Because I'm getting to the Augusta, I'm going, and I'm waiting to see if Rory's going to win it again.
I want to see Rory challenge.
He could win 5 or 6 of those.
Yeah, I want to see him challenge Justin and Jordan Spieth and Thomas team leader.
They need to look
Paris.
Over their shoulder. Rory's coming.
Yeah.
Rory's coming, no doubt about that. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's.
It's time to introduce the head man, the chief executive of the European Tour, Keith Pelly, who's done an unbelievable job. Hello and Merry Christmas, Keith. How are you?
Hey, happy holidays to you guys. Everything well?
Yeah, it's all very good. Thank you very much. 2017, a great year for the European Tour.
Well, I think we had a good year. Well, first of all, we had a great year, you know, on the course, obviously, with Sergio Garcia's Masters win and three victories overall. So that was terrific. It was fun to watch, wasn't it, guys? Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood at the end, with Justin pushing him all the way. So I think it was the closest race to Dubai in years. And I think we saw the emergence of a lot of new, young, strong players like John Rahm, who won Ireland and DP World, and Tyrrell Hatton, who won the Dunhill Links and the Italian Open, and Jordan Smith and Paul Dunn and Julian Suriu and Renato Paratori. So, you know, it was, I thought it was a great year with the emergence of some of the young players, and it was terrific to see Tommy Fleetwood win the race to Dubai.
Tommy told us a little story about his little conversation with you on the podium in Dubai about the bonus pool. Tell us about that.
That was very funny. Well, there's two stories I'd say with Tommy. First of all, remember he missed the cut at the BMW this year, the BMW PGA Championship. And I saw him afterwards, and he looked at me and he said, you know what? I'm really upset. He said, yeah, just not playing well. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to win one of these Rolex Series events. I'm going to win one, and I'm going to win one this year. And he said that to me, and he was in just his, he was just so fiery, and it was, and then, what, a couple months later, he wins in France. And then he talked to me about that in the podium in France. He said to me, told you I was going to win one of these. Then at the DP World, when he won the race to Dubai, he said to me at the, I guess right afterwards, he said, so how much is the bonus pool? I said, well, you have no idea? He said, no, I have no idea. You have no idea what you've just won. That's what I said to him. He goes, well, I've won the race to Dubai, and that's the most important thing. And I said, but you also won another million. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, this has been a terrific week then. It was a very funny conversation. And it just goes to show you that although the money is important to all these players, you know, winning championships and winning titles and winning prestigious events like the Race to Dubai or Sergio winning the Masters is much more important. We were in Shanghai a couple years ago. It was my first conversation with Sergio. I said, so why do you decide to play what events? He says, well, you know, the golf course really has to work for me. You know, it has to fit my game. Schedule matters, you know, how we're treated, the hospitality, all of that, the fan engagement. And he said world rating points are critical, and that's why he was there in Shanghai based on it being a World Golf Championship. I said, well, where does money fit in? And he looked at me, he said, I have no idea what the prize purse, not even close, what the prize purse is this week in Shanghai. He said, I just want to win. You know, at the end of the day, they're making so much money now. If they play well, they assume the finances will take care of themselves. But what's more important to them is the actual titles and the recognition from their peers and their legacy in the game.
Well, those sentiments certainly don't apply to myself and Mr. Lee, Keith, I can tell you that. Now, what about the Rolex Series, a big initiative of yours and your team? Are you proud of what you've achieved and what impact you feel it's made in the game of golf?
Well, I think the Rolex Series was definitely a game changer for us. You know, it entered the sporting and golfing vernacular, which I think was something that was the most impressive of its debut. It became very much the way that people talked about is building a brand that quickly to say the Rolex Series as opposed to just these great events or the Premium Series. It became part of the vernacular. Jamie, I think it enhanced our product and elevated what were already prestigious events to a new level. You know, we just talked about money, and I think the prize purse was 33% increase in prize funds in the Rolex Series event. And its strength of field was stronger than the previous year. I believe it was 12%, and it was more than 40% better than the corresponding PGA Tour events. And what also was terrific were the winners. All winners of the Rolex Series events are now in the top 30. You know, you had Noren, Fleetwood, Rahm, who won twice, Cabrera Bayo, Hatton, Rose, and Grace. So I think it was a game changer. And now we have a strong foundation to build on. Next year, the Italian moves to May, so we'll have back-to-back with the BMW PGA Championship, followed by our strong three-event run, France, Ireland, Scotland, before the Open, and then strong three events at the end of the season to conclude the Race to Dubai. And we'll continue to be more innovative in the Rolex Series, creating more spectacular content, and it certainly is an opportunity for young players to compete for big prize funds in Europe. And it's also somewhere where where we really showcased our social media content team. And we had 400 million social media impressions across all 8 events. So, you know, I would definitely say it was a fantastic start. And now it's just something we need to build on over the next 3 or 4 years.
And of course, your job as the CEO of the European Tour is about building what it is. How much does it help you when you have a major like the Masters last year or in 2017, where Garcia and Rose were going toe-to-toe as a couple of Europeans? How much does that help you?
Well, I think we love to see our players excel on the world stage. And, you know, we were talking about it in the office the other day, and we were saying, all right, so who do we have that are really, really young and who you would love to really see come to the forefront this year? And there's a lot of them, and especially in the year of the Ryder Cup. And, Jamie, you and I have talked about this, some of the young players that are now coming of age. But to see Garcia and Rose go toe-to-toe at the Masters, and then, you know, you've got the Olympic champion, and then you've got, you know, a wonderful sentimental favorite in Sergio, who was playing in, I believe, his 74th major, and he won, was it gave us a significant boost. In watching Sergio play the very first time he's ever played the Italian Open, watching him play the Italian Open and watching the crowds with him this year was electrifying. And that's not only based on the fact that he has been a legend for so many years, but he's the Masters champ. And I think that Justin Rose has now solidified the importance of that Olympic gold medal in perpetuity based on how he's embraced it and how it has built his entire brand. So to watch two guys like that go head to head was terrific. But just like the year before, seeing Stenson and Mickelson, and seeing Stenson go head to head with Rose then in the Olympics was also something that was absolutely spectacular. So anytime you get the best players in the world who are going to play some events on your tour, or your players competing in the majors, trust me, guys, you cheer for it like you've never cheered for anything before.
Are you surprised, Keith, how receptive the players have been to all your social media stuff, you know, like breaking the world record for playing a hole or hitting down a strip of grass that's 2 yards wide, or indeed embracing the shot clock Masters or the Super Sixes? Have you been impressed by how quickly the players have gone, yeah, come on, let's try that?
It's been wonderful, Rob. There is a great level now of trust from the players, and they love being part of the social media. They can see what it can do to their brand. They can see what it can do when you take a look at something like the Hero Challenge. It's really a social content platform, and what that can do to their current sponsors and their ability to attract new sponsors. So they can see how it can help bring new audiences and new partners and build their brand. And they trust us that it's going to be done with integrity. It's going to be entertaining, and it's going to be something that we will never make them look bad. And once you have that trust, then it's far easier to ask them for it. And in fact, a lot of the players now are saying, can I be part of one of the social pieces that you create? And so that's something that's been, to be honest with you, very, very rewarding. As far as the other formats, guys have bought into it. They really have. They said, yeah, let's try something. Let's try a couple things different. I'm totally game for it. Once you explain to them, Robin, that, you know, you're not trying to change the game and mess with the rich history and traditions of the game. You're just trying to add to it. You're trying to enhance it. Once that message is communicated and they get it, they've embraced it. They've been terrific.
I think my moment of the year, Keith, social media-wise, was the young lad at the PGA Championship. His birthday surprise was fantastic. I think we've got to embrace the juniors a lot more. I know you're big on that as well. But what was your moment of the year off the course or on the course?
Moment of the year. It was a pretty great piece. There's no question. It was fun being on the in Holland at the Dutch, watching the Beat the Pro. I forget what hole that was.
I bet you wanted to get your clubs out, didn't you?
I think it's 14, Keith. I think it's the 14.
It was 14, and I believe it was the 9-year-old boy, and he beat the pro, and it was just packed. The crowd was jammed, cheering. And he played to the crowd, but the smile on his face, you just said, you know, we're doing something right. So that was fun. I have to admit, from a social perspective, I thought the piece with Justin and Henrik and Beef was terrific with little Aaron. But I have to admit, I couldn't stop laughing at the, what'd you call it, bad coaching?
The bad coaching.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Harrington.
Yeah.
Harrington was spectacular.
I
wasn't
know
he?
When Harrington covered the ball up. He covered the ball up.
The thing is, Harrington thought he was given a proper lesson.
It was, but you see somebody like, so Poulter is fantastic in these, as you know.
Yeah.
But that showcased a whole different side of Padraic Harrington.
And Martin Keimer.
Oh, Martin Keimer with the eyes.
Yeah.
And the knees. Yeah. The knee action was brilliant.
The leg kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrific, yeah.
It really was good. The thing is, Keith, with all these, they're all onces. You can only do them once. Eventually, you're going to get squeezed into a corner because you've got to keep coming up with things that are going to be, you're going to go, wow. But, you know, you can never have the guy taking the mickey out of them on the first tee again because we've done that and they'll expect it. So to catch people on the hop all the time, that's your challenge.
Oh, it is. And I can tell you what is a lot of fun, and you guys are in the business. It's fun to go to some of those creative sessions and just listen to the guys. I met with them all in Dubai. You can imagine how much fun they have just creating it. But you think about it, the best day, the bad coaching, the fastest hole, the 2-yard fairway. It had 1.5 billion impressions over the year, which is a 30% increase on anything we did in 2016 in terms of the social apples to apples comparison. Just those 8 marquee videos had 76 million total reach and 31 million reach for the Aaron's best day ever. It is definitely bringing the game to a different audience, and I think that only serves all of us well in this industry.
You must be getting some feedback from the PGA Tour as to how much success you've had with these pieces.
Yeah, it's something that everybody talks about now.
Yeah.
And how do you come up with it, and how do you create this content, and when's the next one? And yeah, Rolex was so happy that every single event there was going to be one of these, what they call the marquee videos. Nobody, again, asked what was it going to be. They all just said, we can't wait to see it. So it's something that we're pretty happy about.
Yeah, well done, Keith, to you and your team and the players for being so much a part of it. It's been really, really good. Well, Keith, if you've ever spent time with Gary Player, which I'm sure you probably have done, mm-hmm. and Jamie, you probably have done, the one thing that comes across from Gary is his unbelievable exuberance for life and everything that's going on around him. I get the same feeling from you. You've got a tremendous, tremendous amount of energy for the European Tour. It's going in a great direction. The players are into it. And we really can't wait for 2018 to get cracking. And what lies ahead, we don't know, but 4 majors, the Rolex Series, the WGCs, and, of course, the Ryder Cup at the end. It's going to be spectacular.
And how can't you love Gary? He's the perfect height.
Are you exactly the same height as Gary? Pretty close.
I think we're the exact same height.
Well, Pelly and Player, the 2 P's in the same sentence. It can't be bad, can it?
Oh, that's, yeah, you know, just, listen, he is somebody that you spend a couple minutes with,
yeah.
And you feel like he's only talking to you. And he has some of the greatest stories ever. So, yeah, he's a legend. But, I'm very excited. Very excited about how far we've come and lots of opportunities ahead. And we're excited to get started.
Yeah, and the exciting journey continues. Keith, thank you so much. Have a great Christmas with your family and every success for 2018.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, Keith.
Take care, Keith.
See you guys. Bye.
I meant what I said there, Jamie, talking to Keith about Gary Player. You know, when you spend time in Gary's company, you end up, it's like a recharge. The batteries are full again. I always get the same feeling around Keith. He's got so much energy. Fizzing.
Yeah, you're right. Nothing's going to put him down, is it? Not even I could dampen his enthusiasm.
Not even you with your sort of curmudgeonly outlook to most things.
Not even me.
You
no.
know,
you, I've tried, you... but he won't listen.
A couple of other quick mentions. Clark Dennis became the first American to win the John Jacobs Trophy for topping the European Senior Tour Order of Merit. Tapio Pulkkinen finished top of the European Challenge Tour's road to Oman, heading this to 15 players who secured their European Tour cards. And the Q Schools, won by Sam Horsfield, we'll be watching him this season, finished a remarkable 8 shots clear of the field in Spain, and he did join us on last week's show. So special awards for the year. Have you got any? You want to give one to Tommy Fleetwood or to Sergio or to John Rahm or to anyone you like?
Well, I think Fleetwood would have to get a great award for the top golfer for me for the season. Looking forward, I would like the players to speed up a bit, which we always talk about. That's boring, though, isn't it, really? Looking forward to the shot clock Masters. None of the slow players will play, Rob. They'll all stay at home.
They should be made to play.
They should be made to play.
The slowest 20 should be given appearance
put
money.
Up
yes.
10 million
give them
quid.
Appearance
Come
money.
On out
make
there.
Them turn up and prove to them that they can score equally as well playing quicker.
That's our belief.
No doubt about
That's
it.
That's our belief. No, no, I know
it'll
you've
be proven.
Got a, have you got a special award, Robert? I'm sure you
well,
have.
Well, I've got the unluckiest man of
going.
The year award.
Oh, yes.
Goes to Matthew Southgate when he was trying to qualify for the PGA Tour through the playoffs in the US. And then he had a putt for a birdie, which was about 12 feet long. No, maybe less than that, maybe about 8 feet long. And as he hit the putt, a leaf blew across and the ball and the leaf collided. The ball was deflected by the leaf. The putt missed. He then tapped it in. And in the end, he got a four-shot penalty, which cost him everything.
He should have replaced it, replayed the shot. Is that correct?
Yes, he should have replaced it and replayed the shot.
I'm sure that must have happened before from people when you've hit.
Is that just
on the putting surface?
I don't think there's one player in the world that knew that rule, that a leaf would roll across. You know, that's like rubber the green.
Yeah.
And the ball hits the leaf, gets deflected. So your penalty is that you've missed the putt. Then you tap it in.
I wonder why that rule is.
Then you sign
you
for a score.
Shot if you hit a shot and something blows across and hits your ball in flight or something, you don't have to play. Anyway, bizarre, isn't it?
It was just get on YouTube and watch Matthew Southgate and watch what has to happen for that ball when the moment he struck it to collide with that leaf that was blowing across, for those two things to collide at just that point. And there was nothing else blowing across. It's just one leaf. That's it. It's not like there's a whole barrage of stuff strewn on his line. There's one little thing.
And what advantage has he made?
No advantage.
From that?
No advantage.
I suppose if the ball had gone in, you may have done, hold on a minute, is that right? But yeah, bizarre. Unlucky, Matt.
Absolutely unlucky. And the luckiest man of the year award.
You got another one.
Goes to Jordan Spieth. Because when he won the Open Championship and he hit that tee shot of 13, which was off
13,
the map,
yeah.
off the map, to come back and hit the tee shot at 14 and
That's
eagle
not lucky.
And birdie.
That wasn't lucky.
I'm saying he's lucky because he's blessed with the brain that he's got.
I'll tell you what's lucky.
It's a God-given thing that no one else has got, and there's nobody in the world that could have finished like
no,
he did.
I don't
nobody.
Think any, the only thing that was lucky was that they found the ball because it was on top
well, you
of
were
that.
There.
I was right there.
Yeah.
It was on top of one of those sandies. You would have never have found it. Never have found it. If it'd just been a normal event or playing with, you would never even bothered looking for it. So that was lucky. After that, it was pure brilliance, and I've never seen anything like
I'm
it.
I'm saying he's lucky because he's got the gift of that mind.
No,
that
you're
he's
just
got.
Jealous.
I am jealous of that.
Jealous.
For someone to come back who had gone through collapse before at the Masters at the 12th, and then potentially it happened again at another major championship, but for him to respond like he did with the eagles and the birdies all the way to the line
was
incredible.
It was incredible. Need more of that.
Yeah. So the European Tour at the end of 2017, onwards and upwards, is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Rolex Series has been a big success, brought bigger players back to our shores. I think in terms of young talent on the European Tour, it's looking incredibly strong throughout the nationalities as well. There's lots of good European youngsters coming through.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tapio Pulkkinen. I've seen him firsthand. He hits the ball a long
way.
He's an exciting player.
Yeah, he is.
Really. And Sam Horsfield, we're looking to see what he can do this year, winning the Tour score by 8. Poulter's
it's a sign,
been talking
isn't it?
Him up. It's a big sign.
You look for signs. That's a sign.
There's lots of talent already here and there's lots coming through. So good stuff.
So what are your hopes for the 2018 season? We are already into the 2018 season, but the new year.
More of the same, really, Rob. I want to be excited. You can't guarantee that, can you? I'm looking forward to a great Ryder Cup. I'm looking forward to all the big tournaments, not just the majors, all the other tournaments. I would like to just mention John Jacobs. Unfortunately, we lost John, the founding father of the European Tour, start of the year, and we lost Tommy Horton
Tommy
as well.
Horton, yeah.
Great Tommy
That's
Horton,
right,
who
yeah.
played the European Tour for many years, won right. so many events, won yeah. 5 senior tour titles, Order of Merits as well. So we're in a better place because of those
people
two,
like that.
Because of those two gentlemen. And we should all be grateful for that.
And I'm sure the European Tour will do them proud.
I mean, it's the one thing I'd love to win is that John Jacobs Trophy for the senior. It means I'd have to play golf.
You'd actually have to
improve.
Play golf well.
Yeah, which is impossible.
There's two things against you then. So, but it's nice to think about things like that, Jamie.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you know,
you can have your dreams.
You're
Robert.
Into your 50s and you're still aspirational.
Yeah, well, it'd be the one I'd love to
And
win.
People say you think your glass is half empty.
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish.
Rubbish.
How wrong are they?
They're totally wrong.
Well, that's it for now. We'll look ahead to another exciting year on the race Race to Dubai in January and preview the 2018 Ryder Cup in our New Year's Day special. And don't miss next week's show, which is an in-depth review of all four of 2017's major championships with Ewan Murray. Don't forget to stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. Thanks to champion Tommy Fleetwood and chief executive Keith Petty for joining us this week. And to all those players who were good enough to chat to the Race to Dubai show in 2017, the day after they won. They really do put themselves out and we really do appreciate their efforts, that's for sure. But it's time we went and wrapped some Christmas presents. So from Jamie Spence, what have you got me?
Happy Christmas, everybody. And I've got you nothing.
Nothing, thank you. Same as last year. And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye and happy Christmas once again.